Hello and welcome to Flocking Amazing, the brand new podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, a former teacher and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I am thrilled to be sitting down with one of those grown-ups today, Jen Norton!
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. Now, listeners, you might know Jen as Bird Brain's newest team member, our product coach, who's giving you tech support and helping you with our learning materials. But if you've ever had a conversation with Jen, or if you've been fortunate enough to take one of her classes, then you know that she is a flocking, amazing educator through and through. So she is the perfect person to kick off our podcast series. Welcome, Jen. Thank you so much for being here and for being my podcast guinea pig.
Yes. And thank you for all the glowing words you said about me.
All right, Jen, who are you and what is your teaching story?
So as you said, my name is Jen Norton, and I'm currently the product coach for Bird Brain Technologies. I'm a former math and computer science teacher. I spent 6 years teaching math and 6 years teaching computer science. So my path began as a typical math teacher, teaching
anything. This thing is a typical math teacher, really. Like, I feel like every math teacher is so different, but maybe that's just me.
That is true. I think what I mean is, you know, having huge standardized tests at the end of every year and strict guidelines for how many standards to cover. And I taught one computer science course and it went from 15 kids to 150. Wow. And so I was given the option to either stay in math or jump to computer science. And it was a no-brainer for me. I immediately responded computer science. My principal said, go back and think over the weekend. I was like, the answer will be the same. I just loved the ability to be free with the students. Teaching computer science gave me the time and the flexibility without the pressure of standardized tests to allow my students to be creative, to learn by doing, and just make mistakes. And I was learning with them. So we were all making mistakes together. And, you know, as a former math teacher, that was a definite mind shift and how I structured my classroom. But
So it didn't just change things for your students, it changed things for you too.
Very much so. So I was very regimented, very scheduled. We're doing this on this day, going into computer science thinking, okay, well, that didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. We're going to now spend another couple of days, or we're going to scrap that and we're going to start something else, and learning how to think on the fly and just being flexible in general. So it made me a better person, not just my students, but they made me better.
Wow. And did you already know how to program and have this technology computer science background when you started teaching, or did you have to go learn in order to teach it?
So yes and no. I took one course in college on Java, and it had been 8 years since I had taken that course.
So that was probably like right up to date and very useful, right?
Right. Yeah. There was lots of learning, self-teaching that summer leading up into it, doing the summer institutes for AP. And I mean, I've always had an interest in computers. My dad used to build computers growing up, so I would watch and just kind of absorb. But yeah, there was a whole lot of learning. There were definite topics that I wasn't as familiar with, or that were, you know, because technology changes so quickly, things that I wasn't used to. So I had to, that first year, I was probably a week ahead of the kids.
I can hear teachers out there going, a week? Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah,
that was on a good day. There were some days
where I was an hour ahead.
That wasn't a good week. Yeah, I'll be honest. There were times where I'm like, well, that didn't work. You know what? Here's what we're going to do for the rest of the class period. And then immediately scramble and think, how am I going to fix this for tomorrow? But it got better. It got better. So for those of you that are feeling like I am literally on pace with my students, it gets better. Every year is a little bit better than the next.
So. Oh, that's good to hear. Was there anything that was particularly challenging for you to pick up or to feel like you had mastered?
Let's see. Truthfully, I would have to say in Java, the object-oriented programming, just how those things fit together, how classes work together. That programming concept was particularly difficult for me as things began to get a little bit more abstract. Also, in that first year, trying to create problems that my students could do within the confines of what I had taught them to that point, trying not to run ahead with what I had learned, thinking, oh, well, I could do this really easy with a loop. Well, I haven't taught them that yet. So what would this look like for my students? Mm-hmm. And grading in general, learning how to grade, because with math tests, it's like, all right, the answer for number 4 is, you know, 15.7. And then I would just be like, yep, you know. And now in computer science, I'm like, okay, all of these kids turned in a different program. How do I grade this?
Oh, wow. So that sounds like it was much more time consuming to assess students in computer science.
And it is, and it will always be, I think, to really dig deep and to see what they're doing and where their thought process is. But as the year progressed, I began to see how different students, I learned more about my students by grading this work than by what I did in math, when I'm like, the answer is this. I got to see how they code, like you can see little nuances in how they write and how their thought processes go. And they would surprise me and be like, okay, I hadn't thought of it that way, but you know what? It works. So done. So I learned more about them, and I think it's more rewarding, but it is more time consuming.
Oh, that's really interesting. That balance. I feel like you've already, this next question is kind of a twofer. I'm going to eventually ask you, what advice would you give to teachers who are looking to start teaching with technology and with creative robotics? You work with creative robotics all day now. But first, I'm going to ask you to get a little vulnerable, because I find that if you get a little vulnerable first, then your advice always means more. Can you share a challenging moment and a rewarding moment from working with computer science, from teaching in that field, from learning, just something about making the transition into teaching technology and teaching with technology, kind of a high and low that were really meaningful for you?
Yeah. So I'll start with the challenging aspect. When I first started teaching, I had 3 different preps, 3 different subject areas. And a lot of times I would feel very overwhelmed about coming in for the day, being prepared. I liked having things set a certain way. And even if I did, that plan got thrown out the window. And there were a lot of times where I had to say to the students, you know what? I don't know. And I said that a lot more than I anticipated that I would say. I didn't like not knowing, because we are taught to be the master. We are taught to be the subject matter expert. And I think I had to shift my mindset into being the subject matter facilitator, that it's my job to guide my students to where they need to be, but to swallow my pride and say, I don't know. And to look at kids and go, you know more than I do. So, or that's an excellent question. Let's research that right now. And, you know, teaching technology, if the internet goes out or the power goes out or someone makes a coding error and AWS is like, sorry, this website's not available. What do I do? And there were lots of moments where I looked at my students and I was like, I'm going to be real with you. I don't know. And once I realized it was okay, and my students saw me as a professional saying, you know what? She doesn't know everything, and that's okay. That's what Google's for.
Oh, you just said that so beautifully. Your students saw you as an expert and as an authority figure, even though, or maybe because you were saying, I don't know, let's figure it out together. I think that that's been a fear for me. I'm sure that's been a fear for other teachers, is if I admit, I don't know, you know more than I do, do I lose that kind of teacher persona that I've worked so hard to come up with? Like, how can I be the expert if my answer is shrug?
Yeah. And I think, and now I taught high school kids and they just seemed very understanding. And I've had students tell me, you know what, you're the first teacher who would say, I don't know, rather than just make up something. And I'm like, you could go behind me and Google it. Why would I make up something? You know, and they were like, but for real, like the fact that you are real, 100% authentic with us, I connected more with them, I think, than I had my math students, where I was seen as kind of this person who knew all and, you know, couldn't be challenged, or, you know, I had kids throw me a challenge. Okay, well, why is the quadratic formula this way? Excellent question. I'm going to do that after I set them on their homework and then go into the proof. Mm-hmm. This, I'm like, why is it this way? Mm-hmm. You know what? Don't know. begin to know. I won't pretend. That's where I think there's a lot of challenging things. But I think those are all challenging things that, again, made me a better person and realizing it's okay to step back and not lead always.
Yeah.
So then I think one of the rewarding moments, I would say, I think it happens at the end of every school year. I get students that say to me like, you know, oh, for the first time, no one has ever said to me, I could do this, or this is something that I could be a part of, or that you valued my opinion. Because every year I always start with the idea of we all come from different walks of life. And those experiences had led us to this one particular moment. And you could program something that I would never even begin to see as a need. And so by having, and so I just lead through this like diversity of thought. And when we collaborate, just collaborating and respecting everyone's opinion. And by the end, I'd had people say, you know, I didn't even have a computer at home, but now this is something I want to do. I want to go to a local school or, you know, technical college, and I want to expand and I want to do better. And this is something that I can do with my life. And to have kids say that their life had been altered, that didn't happen for me in math. I never had someone.
This might be. Yeah.
For real. You know, I just never had students say to me, oh, thanks for teaching me geometry. I'm now going to go teach math, or now I'm going to go major in mathematics. Mm-hmm. I'd have people say, I'm going to go and be a data scientist, or I want to be a programmer. I don't know what yet, but I know it's computer science, whatever it is. And that's, to me, to see the passion and love that I have carry over into them, and that just exposing them to something that they might have never seen before. It's hard to put into words, but there is a value in the effort that I put into that class. And it was totally worth it.
And that's all we want as educators, right? Is to know that the time and the effort and the love that we put in is worth it. You know, they say that in education, you're planting the seeds, which means that you don't get to see what it turns into for years and years and years. You know, it takes such a long time for those blossoms to grow. But sounds like maybe you got some sneak peeks.
Did get some sneak peeks.
What was sown from those seeds?
And there are a couple that have followed me, found me on LinkedIn, and said, hey, this is what I'm doing now, you know? And so I had one work for Google over as a summer internship.
Oh my gosh.
In between her sophomore and junior year of college. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, I don't have these connections with my math students from years ago. I have these connections. And I think that's just being real, being flexible, allowing them freedom to explore. Not all of it's me. A lot of it is just the fact that we now have the opportunity in the building that there wasn't before. So.
And part of it is that you're flocking amazing. That's why I'm here. So what advice would you give to teachers that are looking to maybe dip a toe into technology and robotics and computer science, or maybe are like, I'm ready to dive. I want to do this. This is something that interests me.
Definitely the mindset of I'm going to learn with the kids. I would say that, and part of this is me as the planner, but I would always work every project before my students did. Before I assigned it to my students, one, because I've made an answer key. It's not the answer key, but it's one of them. And I would then work through my own problems and see, okay, this is where students might get tripped up. Here's where I can clarify instructions. These are some issues that I had, like, oh, I forgot a semicolon. Jeez, this is what ended up happening. So when a student has that problem, that's the first thing I look for. Just kind of working through the projects beforehand, if possible, and being patient with technology. I go in with the mindset that something will go wrong. Technology mm-hmm. will not behave correctly. Mm-hmm. And if everything works golden, that is the miracle of the day. And you're just on cloud nine and you're like, yes, everything worked today. But then if it doesn't, which it inevitably does, you're like, well, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what, but, and using those moments as a teaching experience. Well, why might this computer not be turning on? What's the first thing that we could check? You know, and involving your students in the troubleshooting, because that's how they learn. going with the mindset that this is not going to be as regimented. It's meant to be free flowing and creative. Learn with your kids. That's a lot of advice in one question. But sorry.
They all go together. It sounds a little bit to me like giving yourself permission to be a different educator than you were before. It's those shifts can be so hard to make. We're talking about like hacking our brains, like
it thinking is
differently and shifting things. And especially if you've been teaching for a long time, if you are a veteran teacher and you're either adding technology to your class or making the switch, your students are so incredibly lucky to have you. And This is challenging. This is really hard work to do.
It is. And you got to be all in, but your kids get the most out of it when you're all in. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to try it. If it fails, it's okay. We're going to fix it. We're going to try something different. Being invested in it and giving it, you know, your all that you can. But also, like you said, giving yourself grace to know that it's okay to make mistakes.
That leads perfectly into my next question. Now, you know firsthand that at BirdBrain, we are all about deep and joyful learning. And in my amazing conversations with teachers, I've learned that that looks a little different to everyone. So what does deep and joyful learning mean to you?
Oh, so it means a lot of things. And I'm just trying to like pare it down. I mean, first off, to talk to about the joyful, because I feel like to me, that's the most intuitive part, is allowing students to kind of experience the process of building robots and programming those robots, which includes those moments of debugging and troubleshooting. But because of those struggles, at the end of it, when it finally works, it just that and allowing them the time to celebrate and you to celebrate with them and high fives all around, even if with that hand sanitizer afterwards, just being joyful in the moment of it's a project, a problem. You know, we do word problems every day and we don't get frustrated if we can't figure it out on the first try. Why do we get frustrated as students when we don't get the answer the first try? And so, like you said, hacking our brains, we're hacking theirs too. In the deep part, and I think that goes along with allowing them the time to play and explore. I mean, how many of us, when we get a new cell phone, actually open the user guide and read it?
I am not raising my hand, listeners.
Me neither. First thing I do is I pick up my phone and I start doing it. I start playing with it, downloading apps, deleting this bloatware, whatever. We're moving on. But it's like when we go places and we are learning new things, you know, we don't learn how to drive a car by reading the user manual. Why do we ask students to read a textbook to learn something? And in computer science, they gave me textbooks. And I'll be honest, I never used them because I said, here, do. And I liked the process of, I'll show you a little bit, but we're all going to spend time and I'm going to set aside class time. And it may feel like a lot, but the minute they get into it, they're like, oh, I'm going to need every minute of this class time. But it's okay to set aside 3 days, 5 days, 10 days for an assignment that they, because they are learning every step of the way. And that's deep. Rather than trying to cover so much, a mile wide and an inch deep is what we're always told. Why not an inch wide and a mile deep? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think it means to be a deep and joyful learning for my students.
Ooh. Okay. I have one more question.
Okay.
Teachers always hate this question, which really fascinates me. I'm really setting up for success here. Jen, what makes you a flocking, amazing educator?
Okay, I can see why people hate this.
Teachers never want to say nice things about themselves. So set the standard here. What makes you a flocking, amazing educator?
I think it's my desire to always learn and to try new things and push the boundaries and fight for my students. You know, there were years where money was dry and things that we needed and we made it work, but I kept pushing and it took 3 years, but I got new computers because we were running on super old stuff, but just never quitting and being the adult in their corner. You know, I feel like that's who I am as a person, is I put my family and my friends first, and I did the same for my students. And I hope that's what makes me flocking amazing.
I love that. Jen, thank you so much for joining us. We're so thrilled to have you here. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you for letting me chat.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.